fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here, our third hour. This is the Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We just had Steve Ben-Noon. His website's IsraeliNewsLive.org. Very serious financial situation going on with his family due to illness of both his father and the death of his father-in-law, and he is accepting donations. We have Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer, and Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. Books for sale at amazon.com. And Jeff, there's a way for people to subscribe to your articles. Tell people how they do that, please.
Yeah, beneath each article or video is a button for contributing to the site by PayPal to keep my work going.
I would certainly urge people to please consider doing so. Before we get back to our callers, Steve and Leon and Jeff, the evidence I've seen from multiple sources absolutely convinces me that the key to a lot of what goes on geopolitically lays in the Antarctic. It really does. And I'll give people something to ponder. The fall of 20... I need to get the year right here. 2016. Fall of 2016, the election day. We had the Secretary of State, John Kerry. Where was he on Election Day 2016? He was in the Antarctic. Very strange. We had the Pope down there within a month or two of that. We had the head of the Eastern Orthodox Church down there within a month or two of that. We had Vladimir Putin down there about the same time. Four of the most important individuals on the planet, all the Antarctic within about 90 days of each other. How many other men were there that don't have the stature to have a press release when they travel? I don't know. But that's something to ponder. Our first caller here is, looks like, Deborah in Arizona. Deborah?
Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to say this again. I said it maybe a month or two ago, but my dad was World War II transport on a transport ship. anyway, in his elder years, he had mentioned that he had transported high-level officers to the Antarctic. Now, in his Navy book, where it says where the ship went, you know, that showed where their travels were, it, of course, it doesn't show that. He said he did not know why they were dropped off, but he did drop them off. They weren't told anything. They were just dropped off at Antarctica.
Right. And these are higher level military officers.
Yes, and
okay.
And he never mentioned
the time frame this would have took place.
Well, he went into war at the beginning. He was in 5 years, so what was that? 40 to 45, 39 to 45.
Well, our part of the war started in 1941. It was only our part of the war was only 3.5 years.
Okay.
So he was still in the Navy. If he was in 5 years, he was in the Navy about 2 years after the war ended, which would be about the right time frame for him to have gone down there. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
well, thank
he didn't specifically say. Well, I wanted
to ask
log,
the ship's log, and he had access to the ship's log, obviously. That's limited. Not every sailor has access to the ship's log. We happen to have a former U.S. Navy officer here, Leon Green. What would be the circumstances, Leon, for a U.S. Navy ship to go to a destination and not have it recorded in the captain's logbook?
Well, that'd be monumental because that's an official document. You're violating all sorts of articles. So, no, that's not something that occurs on a regular basis. And whenever they do that, it has to go all the way up to pretty much Congress. I mean, admirals get involved, and it's a major calamity. So, you know, you can't just fudge those numbers. There's a lot of redaction, you know, in CIA and all the other things that they say everything's redacted and medical. But when
right.
it comes to the ships, you know, USS Vinson, the Enterprise, you get underway, that's a permanent record, period.
Right, exactly. That's good information, Deborah. Anything else?
I wanted to ask, well, you can all reply, but I was going to ask Jeff, regarding these elections, there's rumors going around that a lot of, I'm on the Republican side, a lot of governors, senators, and things are compromised with China. How do we vet these things properly to know who is the best to vote for? We're going to have some changes here in Arizona, but there's a lot of rumors flying around about that.
Well, anybody that takes money from companies doing business in China is going to be under pressure from their donors, you would assume, or from lobbyists. To you know, once a company becomes involved in China, it becomes involved with pressure from China. The Chinese start to say, if you want to make money, you know, you've got to get your side to play ball, and you've got to, you know, help us convince Washington to do this or that. So yeah, it's a major problem for us, and also Chinese access to our capital markets. This is a very complex problem because of the way money supports politics. And it's hard to know. You've got different companies. That company might not be involved in China, but it might be involved with the company that is and be have members on its board, etc. So, you know, it's very hard to track this.
Yeah, because I see such, I don't know, like you'll have a governor that won't stand up for like the president. I'm talking about Trump's era and senators, but yet they're on the Republican side and you're going, okay, that was not good. And then you don't know who to vote next for because it all seem to be compromised.
Well, it takes millions to run for Congress, or in the Senate, it's even more, you know, than it costs for Congress. So it's, how on earth do these people, you know, end up winning elections and having the, like, the Republican Party or the Democratic Party behind them? Unfortunately, there are aspects of the U.S. system that has become a plutocracy, so that big money has some say in who is elected. And the primary process, of course, of who gets picked to even run for the different parties is complicated.
Mm-hmm.
By all
okay,
that,
well, so. Yeah, I know it's real complicated. Okay, well, that's what I wanted to ask. Thank you so much.
Okay, Deborah, thank you for your call. Mm-hmm. Our next caller is, thank you, John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Morning. I have a question about the swastika, which is a principal icon of the Nazis. It is generally thought to be a symbol of the solar deity. I have also heard that it is also an icon representing a space-time vortex, which is why it's so prevalent in Tibet, which is the principal swastika they use. It is said that area is a space where space-time is weak, similar to like in the Bermuda Triangle or the Dragon Sea. Have you ever heard of this, or could you comment?
No, I've never heard that it represents a vortex. It's a solar symbol. I've heard that before because it's a turning. It's like a wheel, right? So it's the sun, the Earth revolves and the sun moves around the Earth. So, but I haven't heard about a vortex. No.
Anything else, John?
Any Native Americans in the Southwest, like the Hopis and Navajo, they use the swastika a lot too. And there are several places like Skinwalker Ranch or in other places that are supposedly haunted. They have seen, there are people who have witnessed opening of sort of spinning, like spinning whirlpools that are like gateways portals into other dimensions in which beings have emerged from.
Yeah, I wouldn't go into those portals if I saw one.
I wouldn't either. No, they can keep their portals. Anything else, John?
I don't know. Is it possible that the Nazis were that the mystical, in their mystical search, is that the Nazis were trying to open these portals to other dimensions?
The SS, which began as Hitler's bodyguard, really expanded through developing research bureaus. A lot of people don't realize. Heinrich Himmler, of course, his father was the teacher to the king of Bavaria, his family. And so Himmler had this this interest in research and learning really weird things. So he had an organization, among others, doing research called the Annenerbe. And they were looking for Atlantis, for example. They were looking for the Holy Grail. They were looking for the origins of the Aryan race in Tibet. They had a number of projects, which Otto Rahn wrote a book about his looking for the Holy Grail for the Third Reich. That book, you can buy it on Amazon, or there's a Kindle version. So, but it's, a lot of that stuff, there's books been written about it, but there's nothing that exciting that shows they discovered anything really big. The only expedition they ever had that was thought to be, they claimed was a success, was their expedition to Tibet. And I'm not sure exactly why they thought that.
Well, that's all.
Okay. Well, the possibility, Jeff, would be that the monks have repositories of ancient documents in those monasteries up there in Tibet. Of course, that was before the Chinese came in, and it's no telling what the Chinese did with those repositories.
Yeah, there was interest by the Russians in Tibet, too. There's a book on that. But the Russians, the Chinese, the Germans, a number of nations were really drawn into Tibet.
Absolutely. John, we need to move on. Thank you for your call, sir. Our next caller is Charlie in Florida. Good morning, Charlie.
Oh, good morning, John. Good morning, Jeff and Leon. I just wanted to make a comment. I'm not a medical expert, but I wanted to follow up on Glenn's comment about the going into a temporary death thing, you know, to get rid of the virus. From what I understand, now I'm not a medical expert, but from what I understand, viruses are dead already. So, I mean, if you die and come back, the viruses are still going to be there. They're not changed. They're not going to, they don't live. So, I mean, they're not going to die off. They're dead. So it doesn't make sense to me. Now, like I said, I'm not a medical expert in any way. It just doesn't jive with what I know about viruses. I did want to comment about the thing going on down there in Antarctic, though. Bert did say that he had been down there twice. So that's not really a new revelation, but some of the stuff that Steve talks about, I get, and some of it I really don't get, but some of it seems to be right or accurate. And then in other areas, like this thing about the death thing, that just seems to defy logic, you know. Now, I don't know. I'm not an expert. But down there in Antarctic, I think that the period that you were talking about, John, where all those people were down there and everything, you know, that I think what was happening was that they must have discovered something new down there or something. But I think that it's possible that these Venusians or whatever were down there, because we know that Bird did come back, you know, from there defeated. We know that.
Right.
And so, yeah, there's something definitely going on down there.
If I was a German in charge of defending the Antarctic, here's what I would do. I would have a show of force against Admiral Byrd's naval task force, and I want feedback from Leon on this. The show of force, to be believable, would have to take out some aircraft, kill some men, maybe sink one or two ships. Then, after these planes are shot down and one or two ships are at the bottom of the sea, then I would send a motor launch out under a white flag to have a little coffee break with Admiral Byrd and say, "Admiral, you don't want to screw around with us. You really, really don't want to do that. And have a good day. Go back to Washington, D.C. Leon, your response, sir.
That makes sense to me as well, because, you know, they could have just annihilated they had the technology and the firepower to do that. So if they would have annihilated Bird, then all that would have done is sent another reminder.
It would be another even larger task force. Exactly.
Correct.
Right.
It's easier to go home with your tail between your legs than it is to fight another enemy down the road.
No, I think what the Germans did was not a show of compassion. It was just a smart thing to do to conclude the unpleasantness as quickly as possible with the least expenditure of their resources. Jeff, you got a response? I'd be glad to hear them, sir.
Okay, I thought I heard Steve saying Venetians, but he was saying Venusians?
I'm not positive on that part.
So there was, because he just mentioned Venusians. I mean, Venus, that toxic hellhole?
Well, what they're called and where they're from are not necessarily the same thing. I quite frankly don't know, Jeff.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Okay, well, let's move on from there. Charlie, are you still with us? You got any other questions?
Yes. Yeah, I do.
Well, hold on to the break. Hold on to the break, Charlie. Yeah. Hold on.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. Made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jared Moore here with the Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We had Steve Noon with us earlier. His website is IsraeliNewsLive.org. And yes, his family is really suffering financially from the death of his father-in-law, the illness of his dad. And he is taking taking donations at IsraeliNewsLive.org. We have Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. His experience is very, very valuable. And, of course, Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog. His books are for sale at Amazon. 6 books. You need to check those out. They're great books. And Charlie in Florida, you have a further comment or question, sir?
Yeah, I have 2 comments to make. One was on the down there in Antarctica. Now, I'm not I'm no expert in that area by any means. I have studied it a lot, but I'm not an expert. But I know that Byrd, when he was interviewed in one of his interviews, he said that there was plenty of land down there that any young person or explorer could go and settle on and develop. And Antarctica, as we know it, is nothing but ice. So it begs the question what he was talking about.
Charlie,
I'm not a flat earther.
Charlie, yeah. Stop. Let me help you out here.
Yeah.
Most of our listeners, the majority of them, have access to the internet and access to a service called Google Earth. Once you use it a little bit, it's simple, point and click. It's like flying an airplane. Now, do you have access to Google Earth yourself, Charlie? You have a computer?
Oh, sure, sure. Okay. Yeah, I've used it many times.
Well, here's what you do, and this is for all our listeners. You fly Google Earth over the Antarctic, and here's what you're going to not find. You will not find hundreds of thousands of square miles that are blanked out. Obviously, they don't want us to see the penguins copulating. I mean, obviously, right?
Exactly.
No. Right. No. There's also other areas. I need to take a drink. Hold on. The East Coast of the United States, there's hundreds of areas blocked out because the water is so shallow. You can see the absolutely straight lines that go on for dozens and dozens of miles. That can't happen naturally. and so forth. So the answers are in the Antarctic. And Google Earth blocks out the Antarctic for a reason. It's not to prevent us from seeing the penguins copulating. It's for other reasons. And Admiral Byrd was making, he was an admiral. And that's a flag rank officer, same as a general. And these are very serious men. Leon, a former U.S. Navy officer, admirals tend to be pretty serious guys, don't they, sir?
Absolutely. They don't mess around. And, you know, one thing, I was supposed to go down to McMurdo Bay. And, you know, it's easier as a military person to get in there. But from what I understand, even mariners, they can't just naturally sail down there. They are.
No.
Right?
No, it's off limits.
It's
off limits. Yeah. Now, a little personal note here, Charlie and everybody. I was at a fundraiser. A fundraiser for General Flynn in Dallas, a typical event room. It was 10 top tables. I was at a table for the dinner and the fundraiser. Sitting right next to me was a retired Air Force C-130 pilot. As soon as I found that out, I said, sir, have you been to the Antarctic? He says, oh, yeah, many times. I said, can you tell me what you took out of there? He says, no. I signed non-disclosure agreements. I'm not allowed to tell you what I took out of there. So there you go, Charlie. Any follow-up before we move on?
Well, on that real quick, I could say that you also block out the top of the Earth, too, in the Arctic area around, because I've seen I saw the Life magazine cover that showed the hole in the Earth up there, and they don't, they censored it later and replaced it, but I was able to trace a copy of it down in a library in Lexington, Kentucky, and I was able to find that the original copy, and yes, it did show a hole in the Arctic. But on the Star of Reprim,
Charlie, was that a photograph or an artist rendition?
No, it was a photograph. Yeah, taken from space. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to add on was that they talking about the swastika. Well, I think originally that was a representation for what they call the Star of Reprim. It's mentioned in the Bible, and it's supposed to be it's a 6-point star, which they the Jews use as their symbol, for the Israel. But
okay.
It's originally was a representation of that, the swastika. So that's amazing. Kind of an unusual thing, isn't it? Since
it is.
Hitler was supposedly against the Jews. All right, that's all I got to say.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's see. Our next caller is John in Tennessee. We got a break coming up. We'll get you started, John.
Good morning again.
Three
operations.
Hold on, John. We got a break. We'll
okay.
Break.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
But if we fail, then the whole world, including the United States, including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age, made more sinister and perhaps more protracted by the lights of perverted science.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. The Tuesday morning roundtable. My website is thelibertyman.com. Got a new photo of me there on my motorcycle, a beautiful summer day, getting ready to ride, and getting caught up in energy cleaner sales. It's really very satisfying and gratifying for me to help people get their life back. If you don't do the things you love to do because of arthritis pain, go dancing with your honey, walk in the park, ride a bicycle, whatever it might be, energy cleaning will help. Everybody with arthritis issues gets either complete or some relief. Details at my website. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. So you can order your energy cleaner, your mattress pad right there at my website, or call my toll-free hour line 24 hours a day. It's 800-592-9543. We have Leon Green with us, former U.S. Navy officer. We had Steve Ben Noon earlier. His website is IsraeliNewsLive.org. They're accepting donations to help with the family crisis right now. And Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog. And John from Tennessee, you have a question or a comment, sir?
You know, if I remember correctly, Admiral Byrd became an admiral at age 41, the youngest ever man commissioned as an admiral in the Navy at age 41. How many of you have any idea why he was sent to the Antarctic? I can tell you there were three operations that the Navy conducted prior to Admiral Byrd going to the Antarctic, Operation Starfish, Operation Fishbowl, and Operation Dominic, where the United States, as well as Russia, were firing nuclear weapons straight up and exploding them in the air. Now, the reason he was sent to Antarctic, I'm not 100% certain on, but I find it strange, and I'd like to get Leon's comment on this. Why would they commission a ship called the USS Nimrod to take Admiral Byrd to the Antarctic? And when he got there, his operation was called Operation High Jump. What did they discover when they were firing nukes straight up? What was he investigating? I'd like to get all of your comments.
Well, I don't know about the nukes going off above the Antarctic at all, one way or the other. I think if they did that, it would make the Third Reich inhabitants very angry. You know, getting feedback again from somebody. As far as it was a Navy task force with, I don't know, 6 or 8 ships. It was a bunch that you would take on a wartime footing. That's my comments. We'll go to the Navy veteran next for his comments about Admiral Byrd and those operations.
And I've got one follow-up when you're finished, please.
Okay. Leon, go ahead if you got any follow-up, sir.
Yeah, my understanding was Starfish and his other nuclear tests, you know, most of them occurred in the, you know, the Bikini Atoll and in the Southwest Pacific. And I didn't know about any tests that actually occurred in Antarctica. And then I also thought they were time frame. They were in the 50s and 60s. I didn't think they were right after World War II. So I'm going to do research on, you know, those. I remember Starfish is one of the largest ones. I'm almost positive that was. You know, I remember seeing that even the YouTube had some videos on PBS and one of the other shows. It showed the, you know, these islands being annihilated, and this was in the very late 40s and 50s. And I think even a couple occurred in the 60s, so I'm going to have to do research on that to give them a valid answer.
Okay.
Any response, Jeff?
1962. Starfish was a nuclear test in 1962. Go ahead, Jeff.
I've never heard of any nuclear detonations in the Antarctic, so I'm a little baffled.
All right, John, you're old enough to remember the Longine Chronoscope, correct? I mean, I remember
The
Longine Chronoscope. The Longine Chronoscope that used to come on television. Admiral Byrd was interviewed, and he clearly said there was land yet unexplored, larger than North America, on the other side. Listen to the words. I heard him say it. I can send you a link. Yet land yet unexplored on the other side of Middle America, beyond the South Pole. And he's talking about that on the Longine Chronoscope.
Right, that TV.
So how can you have land? How can you have land, John, on the other side of the South Pole?
Well, when you're going south,
I believe Byrd was talking about the North Pole in that interview.
Well, no, he was talking about the South Pole, Jeff. He wasn't talking. He said the North Pole was pretty. It's pretty busy up there. That the future is going to be on the South Pole. I believe personally, and yeah, call me nuts. I'm a flat earth guy, but to throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, like you do so often, John, well, it's 8 o'clock in Tipitawana, Taiwan, and it's dark over there. You're telling me you're not even investigating anything outside of what you've been taught or
once I go south to the North Pole, and I'll start going north.
No, you won't, because you can't go over the South Pole. They won't let you. You can go east to west.
Well,
you can go south to north, but you can't go.
If you're allowed to, I would. I would go south to the North Pole. And
no,
then
I don't
going
believe
north,
you would. That's why you're not allowed to.
No, that's
I don't
not
believe
true at
you
all.
Can. That's why you're not allowed to.
Well, you're not allowed to because I don't want you to see what's there, John.
Yeah, they don't want you to see the edge of the firmament, John. Biblically,
no
the firmament is. Okay.
That's a fantasy.
Say it without investigation, and the Bible says he that answers a matter without knowing. It is a shame and a folly unto him. So, John, well, before you say there is none, at least look at it.
Well, I will say it's 9:40 p.m. in Bangkok right now.
Right.
Or it's absolutely
on the other side of a ball, according to you. Completely throwing out what the Bible says.
Well, the Bible says far enough to get back to where you started.
Pardon me?
If you fly east far enough, you get back to where you started.
Sure, because east and west never meet. That's where the Bible says your sins are.
We're done. Let's go to Patrick in Texas.
Hello? You hear me?
On air, Patrick.
I don't want to really, but it defies all of astrophysics to talk about that. All the other planets are the same shape across the universe. You know,
right.
I'm going to leave that alone. But what I want to talk about is, like, you know, the psychic Maria Orzech, she teamed up with Dr. Schumann, who discovered the Schumann frequency. And they're the one that created the Hanabu. And we've got
created
all the
what?
Photographs.
Created what?
It was a craft called a Hanabu. And they used counter-rotating magnetic fields as a technology. That was down there in the Antarctic in our Operation High Jump. And when Bird went down there, and he lost to them because they had this super fast craft that whenever you in a magnetic capsule like that, you can do like a 100G turn because you're completely insulated from the inertia of that.
Right.
So they were incredible things they could do, 1,000 miles an hour and 90 degree turns. But back in 1937, we were, according to Major Jordan's diaries, we were already sending the Russian Red Army, which was, you know, the Bolsheviks down there, who were busy killing off all the Christians and the gulags and everything, 100 million of them, according to Solzhenitsyn. But we were sending them all of our aircraft out of Seattle, you know, just as fast as we could produce them out of there, Boeing and everything, and out of the air bases in Wyoming, Cheyenne, he discovered they had nuclear secrets that he forced open the Russians to open up the boxes, and he found uranium, and we know from the Proof of a Poisonous Tree, Marvin Stentler, that they had $5,000 and $10,000 treasury plate sent over. They had communist agents in our Treasury Department, Henry Dexter White, Operation Snow, and it was basically.
Wait a minute. $50,000 treasury plates. What are those?
I'm sorry, $5,000 and $10,000 plates. Treasury plates were into Marvin Stentler, the Proof of a Poisonous Tree, and so they've got nuclear. They got all of our printing plate. They got all of our aircraft, all of our munitions, all our lend-lease, which was actually just gimme stuff. And we were building up this huge army down there in Russia. Churchill was on the dole from the focus group, and he was building up, you know, and refused to. What we got here is we were with the allied with the communists. We're fighting the communists, and in reality, it's all just a big power play like we're seeing now. They have maintained control up until even today, where the whole world is under the New World Order, and that's.
You made a very comprehensive statement there, Patrick. Let's get some response. Thank you for your call, Patrick. I've heard some of this before, Jeff. I haven't heard about plates to print $5,000 bills. That's new to me. I thought the large denomination bills were all done away with before World War II. But if you got any follow-up on Patrick's comments or Jeff, I'd be welcome to hear them.
Well, this is kind of the confused conspiracy interpretation of history, where he isn't too clear on history itself.
Well, he's mixing some fact with some conjecture. I know, like, talking about aircraft, the Russians still have more than 1,000 DC-3 C-47s that were given to them during World War II in daily operation. I know that for a fact. I verified that through James' publications. So he's kind of all over the map here, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, we were trying to defeat Nazi Germany and World War II and arming the Soviet Union, which had basically, in the first year, the war collapsed largely. And its economy had largely collapsed. Without those supplies, Hitler would have run over Russia. And if he had done that, he probably would have not been stoppable. At least there was no way there was going to be any defeating of him. Because without the Red Army, we only had so many divisions ourselves and the British and the whole German army. We couldn't defeat it by right. ourselves.
Yeah,
so.
The enemy at the gate is a good, I think, fairly, and I want some feedback for you on this, Jeff, a fairly accurate portrayal. I regard more as a docudrama of what took place in Stalingrad, where the Red Army was basically drafted peasant boys that didn't even have rifles until the guy that they were with and running with died, and he took over his fallen rifle. It was absolutely desperation, wasn't it, sir?
Yeah, they were pretty desperate when the German army is reaching the Volga River above Astrakhan to Stalingrad, and they're invading the Caucasus, and basically the people don't realize the Volga was the lifeline over which most of the oil came from the oil cities down around Baku to fuel the Soviet Union. The Germans had their thumb on the artery of the Soviet Union. If they'd cut that, the Soviet Union may have just totally collapsed if they'd been able to stay there. Just staying there was so lethal to them. So the war, it was not lost by Hitler until after Sixth Army was destroyed at Stalingrad.
And that defeat, that's when the industrialists in Germany started getting the hell out of Dodge and moving valuable equipment, valuable men and women out of the country to all the various countries that they were doing business with. Operation Paperclip is well known, but what's not well known is the evacuation of critical infrastructure, critical brain power out of Germany, beginning with the defeat in Stalingrad. Do you have any follow-up on it, Jeff?
If you read closely German history at the time, it was after August 1944 when that took place. Martin Bormann met with the German industrialists and people in finance, and they started moving gold and other equipment, I think some machine tools too, trying to move them out of the country or hide them. They hid things in mines, but they wanted to move things into South America.
Right.
And this
right.
is recorded. If you read there's a book on Bormann, I can't remember the title now, which goes into detail, but in August of 1944, the German Army Group Center collapsed. And that was a whole army group. That was the biggest defeat of the Germans during the war, probably bar none. The whole center of the German line in the Eastern Front gave way. So that was really the, I mean, if they didn't see the end after Stalingrad, it was staring right at them right then.
Right. Well, Stalingrad was certainly a wake-up call, and then they, of course, we there's power details we don't know, but that's an interesting historical perspective there. Our next caller looks like Mark the Spark in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, John, and good morning to the team there. First, I'd like to say I very much appreciate the broadcasting, Republic Broadcasting, because I appreciate the callers, because The callers may give us hints about something. You know, they've been down pathways I have not been down. They have may have discovered things that I've never been aware of. And so I will share with you that I first learned about the Mayan calendar from a man who was actually a big inheritor of a great fortune, and he moved to southern Missouri and bought multiple farms, had a couple thousand acres, and he turned me on to the Mayans. And by the way, the swastika comes from the Mayan calendar. The Mayans were very advanced, although they appeared to be very simple people. They were, it's believed that they were time travelers. December 21st, 2012, was the crossing of time. The short, medium, long, great, grand cycles, they all crossed on December 21st, 2012. The last time that happened was 26,000 years ago. So if you told me over, I'd share a little bit more with you about that.
What's that called? The Great Precession, I think. Yeah, hold over. We'll get through this last break and we'll wrap up the show.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Fix bayonets.
Blame Eden and Nicole Colgren. Many may have gone.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Mark, you got 60 seconds, so you can wrap it up and we can get our summaries from Leon and Jeff. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, so real quick, in 2005, I actually was inspired to go meet Jose Arguelles, who was the one that deciphered one of the many Mayan calendars. It was called the Zolkin, T-Z-O-L-K-I-N. He created deciphered that calendar, and he believed it was a personal programming calendar. He believed that also it was to give focus to the codons in our DNA to awaken us to the deeper potentials that we hold within us. We are currently in the Mayan times. Maya means mask of illusion. We have been suppressed for thousands of years on this planet, and it's time for us to wake up. And by the way, his organization is called lawoftime.org. It's in Ashland, Oregon. I encourage people to go to that website. You may learn something. If it makes sense to you, follow it. When I first learned of this, it was like way out there. When I first learned about it from my friend from Bartlesville, Oklahoma, who had inherited a great fortune, and he was a little bit older than you, John. So the thing is that I threw it back out to the universe, and I let it go, and it kept coming back. So I said, I'm paying attention to this stuff, and it does make sense. We're in a year of reveal. Things are going to be revealed to us, and this is awakening us to a deeper aspects of our nature, our potentialities. We have a lot more within us, many more sensitivities, potentialities that we're awakening to now. So I encourage everybody out there to keep on keeping on, asking the questions, making inquiry to find the truth of who we really are, who you really are, and where we're at. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Well, what a show. Okay. Summary first from Leon, and then Jeff, your summary for the day and the week, sir.
Yes, I continue. I mean, you see what's happening in Tonga. There may be impacts on the food supply. And this is just like what happened in 1816, which Tambora blew up in the South Pacific in the same location as Tonga, and it affected weather worldwide. And within 2 years, 20 million people died because the season was completely. It's called the Grand Solar Minimum. And so right. When you have nuclear winter, so the goal is, if you know you're going to be doing any gardening, now's the time to get the seeds. You'll have a bigger selection to buy them now than you will in March 1st when everybody else has already gone through there and all you have are the scraps. And so don't procrastinate, just like buying trees. I had 25 to buy from in Lowe's, and then I came back a week later, asked the lady. She said, no problem, you'll be back. Came back, they only had 4 left. So like now, if you procrastinate, your selection's going to go down, it's going to be more expensive. So keep prepared, please.
That's right. Okay, thank you, Len. We appreciate it. Jeff, your summary, please.
The fellow talking about the Mayan calendar, that's interesting. Learning it about our potentialities. The one thing we don't always consider is how bad we really are. And you look at World War II, you look at World War I, human beings have a capacity for evil that we still haven't correctly estimated.
That's very true. Jeff, thank you, sir. We'll have you back tomorrow morning. Appreciate it. Okay. Well, what a show. That's it for the day. Get your medical supplies, your energy cleaner, your essential oils now while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never, ever give up your guns. Please do a fun, safe, productive day. And God bless America.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the CoSertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.